Pastor John Randall provides helpful guidance in overcoming temptation.
Practically, spend time with Jesus devotionally. It helps to overcome temptation. Stay alert. Don't go to sleep spiritually. Don't let the culture inoculate you with all of this desensitization that we're seeing. Don't believe it. Stay alert. Don't give in to those things. Just because the lie is spoken over and over and over again doesn't make it true. You know the truth. The truth has set you free. Walk in that.
Great to be with you, and welcome again to A Daily Walk. We're going through the Bible right now, and today we pick up where we left off in Matthew chapter 4. If you'll recall, this is where Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. And just like our Lord faced temptation during his time on earth, so too will we. And I'm glad to say there is a way to overcome. Pastor John Randall will utilize this time together to point out several practical steps we can take in overcoming temptation in our daily walk.
Satan does this all the time. He comes to the believer and says, listen, you're under grace. You're under grace, okay? You're not under the law. You're under grace. You have liberty. You need to celebrate it. Hey, there's other Christians that celebrate their liberty. Come on now. And he begins to twist it and use God's grace as a license for carnality and sin. Paul said, listen, should we sin so that grace might abound? No, certainly not. Some people live that way. They believe the lie. The devil twists it for them. Listen, if you sin, God will forgive you. So don't worry about it, you know? Tomorrow's a new day. Tonight is tonight. Tomorrow you can repent and go to church and get right, okay? And God's merciful. And God could actually be glorified. I mean, it's just all of the things that we try to rationalize and justify what we're doing using God's word, somehow twisting it to fit our own benefit. Hey, listen, God is love. You should live with her. No, you shouldn't. Not unless she's your wife. You know, God is merciful. Jesus turned water into wine. Get plastered. You know, no. That's not a proof text for drunkenness. What are you thinking? You're thinking the way the devil thinks. You're twisting it. You're using it to justify what you're doing. Do not do that. You will fall into temptation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:9, don't let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed as they tested the Lord. You know, there are those that at times will actually put themselves in a position of danger in temptation. And then when they fall, guess who they blame? God. Lord, I don't know how this happened, you know? I don't know, how could you let this happen to me? I went into the bar, I sat at the counter. I mean, I don't understand like why, you know, why it happened. I mean, I know people were offering me drinks and I didn't have to pay. But you know, you should have delivered me. What are you doing in there? Why are you there? I don't know what happened. What do you mean you don't know what happened? It was late, it was like 1 o'clock, and we were parked, and it was dark, and nobody was around, and we had the slow jams on, and like, I don't know, like, I smelled that perfume. Okay, you realize what happened? You like put yourself in that place, and you're surprised? God, how could you let this happen? How did God let it happen? I'm pretty sure it was you. Actually, it was you. But we want to blame God. Don't put yourself in that place. You know the best way to not give in to temptation is don't run after it. Like, run from it. If it's tempting, don't go there. The Bible says, can a man take fire into his stomach and not get burned? Well, let me just see if I can. Oh, that's hot. You're going to get torched. Don't do that. It's like with temptation. How close can I get to the edge today? Oh, Pastor John, I just don't fall over. I mean, any fool could do this. It's not hard. Are you guys nervous? I don't want to test the Lord. I'm not testing him. I'm 50. I'm not going over. I might not get back up. I'm almost a part of the 55 plus. I'm really excited about it. Anyways, I'm back. I don't want to get close to it. Some people, that's how they live their life. Come on, deliver me, God. Oh, I'm dancing on the edge. Help me, Jesus. Why are you doing that? Back up. Run the opposite way. That was the point I'm making. Jesus quotes scripture again, second time. What does he say? Verse 7. It is written. And notice what he says. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Oh. He quotes scripture again. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Jesus wasn't going to put the Father to the test. He would not force the Father to contradict what he had already said in his word. And again, that's a real danger today. Folks, the truth is we have to battle through temptation. We got to fight through it. It's not a sin to be tempted. We all are. It's a sin to give in to it. That's when it becomes sinful. I'm resisting it. I'm fighting it. No way. That's different than pursuing it, giving in to it, participating in it. Thus far, doubt God's will. Nope, wouldn't do that. Presume on God's will. Not going to do it. Here's the third temptation. I think this is probably the most insidious of all, and that is to reject God's will. Look at what it says. The third temptation here, verse 8. And again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of this world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. We're not certain which mountain that Jesus was taken to by the devil, but it says it was a high mountain. And while on this mountaintop, the devil showed Jesus in a moment all of the kingdoms of the world and all the power and all the glory that could be his if he would just worship the devil. In other words, listen, folks, Satan was seeking to change Jesus' route to his ultimate goal. Jesus, you can still achieve what you want to achieve by having all the kingdoms, but here's the thing. There's a different way than the Father suggested. There's more than one way to get this done. Here's another suggestion he puts before Jesus. There are a few things to point out from this exchange that I think are worth noting. First of all, when the devil said that the kingdoms of this world had been given to him, Jesus did not debate it and he did not deny it. The Bible tells us concerning the devil that when Adam and Eve sinned, they forfeited what God had given them. And the devil is referred to in Scripture as the prince of the power of the air and the god of this world. He is behind the wickedness of this world, and many people have surrendered to him and worship him and his devices to obtain the passing pleasures of this earthly and temporal kingdom at the price of their own soul. In essence, the devil was offering to Jesus a kingdom with no cross, which wasn't possible. It was a lie. But how many people have bought that lie and gained the world and all that it offers in exchange for their soul? How subtle this temptation is. If you're willing to sell out for something, the devil will match your price. What do you want? What do you want? You want fame? Got it. That's easy. That's nothing. A big deal. I got it for you. Just do this. Just compromise here. Just sell out here. Is it money? Not a problem. Just cut the corner here. Do this shadiness here. You got it. We got this. Compromise. He'll match your price. Oh, relationships? I got people lined up. Judas sold out for 30 pieces of silver. In essence, when the devil presents temptation, it's just name your price. But with the suggestion and with the temptation, listen carefully, this is so important. There's always strings attached, always, every time. There's always a price to pay. You can have this, but you might want to check out the fine print. What does it say? A death, destruction, consequences, loss, regret, guilt, shame. Is that what you want? Of the three temptations, this is the most diabolical of all of them, because Satan is seeking to get Jesus to avoid the cross, and that's why Jesus came. You remember when Peter came to Jesus? Jesus was telling his disciples, hey, listen, the cross is right around the corner. It's about to happen. Remember that? And Peter was like, oh, no, you are not going to the cross. That is not happening over my dead body. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said that to Peter. You are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. Hey, that's a satanic suggestion right there. Get behind me. That's exactly what the devil was saying. You don't have to go to the cross. He rebuked Peter. I think one of the saddest things for me, if someone asked me, hey, what's the saddest thing about being a pastor, if there is such a thing? I would think it's watching people trade the blessings of God for the garbage of the world. Watching people willing to walk out on their family for what? Moments of pleasure? Foolish. Sell out everything for nothing. That's really what the devil suggests. That's what he wants. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I could line up people around this building today, probably more than once, that if you were to ask them the same question, hey, was it worth it? Let me know. Tell me, was it worth it? You know what they'd say? It wasn't. Did you think it was? I did. There were warnings all along the way telling me don't do it, but I didn't care. Like, I'm doing it. And now you're living with it, and if you ask them, was it worth it? They would say repeatedly, hands down, if I could do it again, I would do it differently. I wouldn't have done that. It's not worth it. Listen, if you're on the edge of temptation today, and you're messing, and it's there, and you're moving and gravitating toward it, this is the road sign today. This is the warning. Hey, stop, turn around, go the opposite direction today. Jesus responded once again, and this time he quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. Look at what he says. Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. See, the devil always wanted to be worshiped, always. Isaiah chapter 14 tells us this. It records the thoughts of the enemy. I will be like the Most High. I will be worshiped. He wanted to be like God. And yet, he was removed from heaven. That is why he is what he is to this day. Jesus would not bow before this wicked fallen angel because Jesus knew that one day all those kingdoms that the devil boasted of having would one day be returned to their rightful owner, which was him. The Bible tells us, Revelation, the book of Revelation, we see Jesus seated upon his throne. And there was a scroll that John saw, and it had seven seals, and no one could open it. And when John saw that no one could open it, it says he wept in heaven. There was nobody found worthy to open the scrolls. Nobody was available. And then one of the elders came to John and said, don't worry. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, he is worthy to take the scroll and open its seals. And the scroll was placed in the hands of Jesus. And that scroll is believed. Yeah, amen to that. He is worthy. We sang it today. And that scroll that was placed in the hands of Jesus is believed to be the title deed to the earth. It's now back in the rightful hands of the owner who created it and redeemed it. And the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 11 in verse 15, then the seventh angel sounded and there was loud voices in heaven. And this is what they declared. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Man, what a day. That's why he wouldn't give in. He knew it's a matter of time. I'm going to die. I'm going to rise again. I'm going to have that scroll. I'm redeeming it. He resisted temptation. Following the defeat of Satan, you know what the Bible tells us? It says in Luke's gospel that the devil departed until an opportune time. I was like, all right, you won the first round. I'll be back. But ultimately, he would be defeated at the cross. And the resurrection of Jesus. The enemy is crafty. He is patient. He doesn't care whether you're 25 or you're 55 or you're 75. Whenever you want to fall, he's there. You have to be relentless. You have to be intentional. That's why the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober. Listen, be sober. Be vigilant. For the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You got to be aware, alert. The Bible also tells us that after Jesus' temptation, the other gospel writers records that he returned in the power of the Spirit. He was stronger. He came through. He was empowered by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, sustained by the Spirit in the wilderness, and came back in the power of the Spirit. You overcome temptation, you're stronger the next time around. Resistance brings strength. This was Christ's temptation, but in conclusion, I'd like for a moment to talk about the Christian's temptation. We all face it, every one of us, to some degree. What may be a temptation for you may not be a temptation for me, and vice versa. But the devil seeks to tailor-make those temptations for us that we might fall. Here's what I want you to understand. First and foremost, everyone faces temptation. You say, how do you know that? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 tells us, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will make the way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. Do you know what that's saying? It's saying that no matter what temptation you face, there is always an exit. There's a way out that you could take if you're willing. There's an exit, always. You don't have to pursue it. Like, no, exit, stage left, right, whatever. There's the exit. I'm looking for it. I want out. It's important to understand it's not a sin to be tempted, as we said. It is a sin to give in to temptation. I've said it before. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from making a nest in your hair. It's like that with temptation. You fight it. You resist it. Also, I want you to understand that God does not lead us into temptation. James chapter 1 says this in verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. How does temptation happen then? Each one is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it brings forth, or gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Temptation starts out very subtle. God's not the one tempting you. It's our own flesh. It's our own desires. We're drawn away. He likens it to a seed. It's planted, and then over time it grows. Listen, you can start sowing into temptation, and it's a matter of time before you start reaping the fruit of it, the corruption of it. God's not leading it. We lead ourselves. It starts with a thought, and then we start thinking about it, and then we start pursuing it, and then we start looking into it and looking for ways to... That's how it happens. Everybody's tempted, but there's a way of escape. God's not tempting us, it's us. Third thing I want to say, and this is so important, there's victory over temptation. There's victory to overcome temptation. We see it clearly observed in the life of Jesus. How? How do you overcome temptation? What did Jesus do? He used the word of God. The Bible says, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not what? Sin against you. I'm hiding God's word in my heart. That's why it's so important to be in the word of God on a daily basis, because then you have something to recall. You know what the Bible says about that. You know where that leads. And so you're able to resist it because God's word is in your heart. Practically, spend time with Jesus devotionally. It helps to overcome temptation. Stay alert. Don't go to sleep spiritually. Don't let the culture inoculate you with all of this desensitization that we're seeing. Don't believe it. Stay alert. Don't give in to those things. Just because the lie is spoken over and over and over again doesn't make it true. You know the truth. The truth has set you free. Walk in that. Amen? And also, be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you walk in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will convict you. It's like temptation comes, red flag just goes, ping. Oh, no. No way, I'm not doing that. I'm dead to that. Holy Spirit reminds you. Another thing I want to say to you is this. Don't, and I mentioned it earlier, but don't run after temptation, run from it. Run from it. Great example of this in the Bible, he had a very colorful coat, had a bunch of brothers that hated him. Joseph. Remember him, Joseph, in Genesis? You should look it up. There's a cartoon now. You might want to watch it. It's just a really good story. The story of Joseph. Joseph was hated. His brother sold him, took his coat, ended up in a pit, and then he went to Potiphar's house, and Potiphar had a wife who liked Joseph and not Potiphar. And she was daily hitting on Joseph. Joseph was like, no way. I don't think she was ugly. I think that they were probably very sensual in you know, that part of the world, in Egypt. I mean, whatever, Cleopatra vibes. Like, he was not even going there, not doing it. No way. Forget it. And daily she was harassing this young guy at the prime of his life, and he kept resisting and resisting. And when she would speak to him, he said, listen, how can I do this great sin and wickedness against God? I'm not even talking about Potiphar at this moment. I'm just talking about, I don't sin against my God. So when she finally grabbed hold of his tunic, he ran. He ran. And then, of course, you know what happened, but God exalted him and God rewarded him because he ran from temptation. There is a reward for us overcoming temptation. James chapter 1, verse 12. And here's where we'll conclude. It says this: blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. We're going to be tested as Christians. And sometimes in those tests, the devil brings temptation. But as we endure and as we fight through it and as we resist and as we allow the word of God, we say, it is written, it is written. God rewards us. He rewards us faithfulness to overcome temptation. The easiest thing to do is to give in to temptation. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is resist. But it's the best thing because there is reward and there's blessing attached to obedience, just walking with the Lord, staying far from temptation. I'm gonna say it. Some of you might be some temptation today. It's a big day for some people. Oh my gosh, we're having this. I'm so excited, like, whatever. Cool. But I'll tell you this, you might be gathering with some people today. I'm like, hey man, we're so glad you're here. Dude, come out to the back. What do you do? You say, forget you, man. I just came from church. I'm resisting temptation. Put that away and get me some water. Preferably living water. Oh, you don't have it? That's all right. I know where to get it. You know, I'm saying resist, man. Do not go that way. Don't be foolish. You think it's any accident that you're here today and we're talking about temptation and we're going to leave this place and there's temptation everywhere? You might have to change your plans. You might have to bring your own cooler. Do whatever it takes, man. Do whatever it takes to do what's right. Be an example. Be a light. Don't justify. Well, you know, come on now, people. We know better than that. The devil's a liar. Don't buy it. Resist it. Have the victory this week. Amen? Some of you clap, but there's some of you that are like, man, I hate that guy. You know, he's like, ruined my day. Fine. Put the jersey away. Forget it. Take it back to the store. I hope so. I hope that's what happened. I am here for a purpose. It's to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. That is my part of my role in the body of Christ. But you know, I love you and I care for you. And I know you care for me too.
So the way to overcome temptation is spending time with Jesus, use the Word of God, be filled with the Spirit, stay alert, and run from it. You're listening to A Daily Walk with our teacher and pastor, John Randall. Hear the study again anytime you'd like at adailywalk.org and sign up for our free podcast so you can start receiving biblical encouragement on a regular basis. If you'd rather have a CD copy sent your way, that's available for a cost of $5. You can order by phone at 877-242-0828. Have you downloaded our free app? This is a great way to listen to weekly teachings from John. Search for Calvary South OC. It is always encouraging to hear from our listeners. Even just a brief email letting us know you're listening and where means a lot. It's an opportunity to say thanks to God for what He's doing. Share a praise report or a prayer request today. You can email that to us at adailywalk@gmail.com. Again, that's adailywalk@gmail.com. We've got a new and cool t-shirt to tell you about. It's our Jesus is Alive tee. Because Jesus died for our sins and rose from the grave, we now have the opportunity to be made alive through faith in Him. And it's something we not only remember at Easter, but it's a message worth proclaiming all year long. So get the Jesus is Alive t-shirt today, just in time for Easter. by going to adailywalk.org. You can also call 877-242-0828. This year, we've taken a big step of faith here at The Daily Walk, expanding our reach on several hundred more stations all across the nation. Would you consider helping us in this venture to get the word out? People are being blessed and helped in their daily walk, and your gifts are helping to make that possible. Again, to make a secure donation, drop by adailywalk.org or call 877-242-0828. Thanks for being with us today. Come back next time when Pastor John Randall continues our journey through the Bible. We'll pick up where we left off in Matthew. This is a presentation of Calvary South OC.